It is 7:45 on a Saturday morning, the 11th of January already. And it's time once again for a wine chat with our friend from Haskell's, Ted Farrell. Hey, Ted, good morning.
Good morning, Teddy. How are you on this fine day?
I'm quite well, thank you for asking. I hope you are as well. It's actually not a bad day today. It was rather nice late yesterday. I did some grilling, and it actually felt balmy.
Well, I hope you weren't out there in your shorts, but it's funny you talk about that because, you know, with weather like this, and I don't get me wrong, I like to be that hardy Minnesotan and not give up on my grill, but on weather like this, I'm actually going to stay inside and break out my Le Creuset Dutch oven and do some slow roasting of some stuff just because it's nice and cold. You go outside, maybe you shovel away a little bit of this dusting of snow. You maybe go out, you do some ice skating, some hiking, cross-country skiing, or whatever. What you want to do is come home to set up a real nice, robust, hearty dish. And I'm probably going to do a pot roast, and it's a real simple way to do it where you just season your big piece of meat, you sear it on both sides in your Dutch oven, take it out, put in some carrots and onions, and then what you do is then you deglaze it with some great red wine. And then you submerge it back in, maybe add some beef broth, put it in the oven for about, you know, 2.5, maybe even 3 hours at about 270 degrees, maybe boil up some nice mashed potatoes. So when you come home, you sit down, you know, you have this hearty, hearty meal to eat. It sticks right to your ribs. And Denny, guess what wine I would serve with that particular big, heavy dish?
Well, I would say Malbec comes to mind.
Well, I'm going to change it up a little bit. The wine I'm going to serve with that is this lovely southern wine called Gigondas. Gigondas comes from the Rhone Valley. It's in the southern Rhone area of the valley. There's two parts of the Rhone. There's the northern Rhone, which is a real continental climate, real hilly, small Appalachian. But then down south, you have larger Appalachian, and you have this small little village called Gigondas. And believe it or not, this village is so old, it comes from the Latin word of Jocunditas, which Jocunditas translates as the pleasurable place, the enjoyable place. And the reason being was that area in France was colonized by the Romans right after they fought Mark Antony and Cleopatra. And as a reward for all those legionaries doing such a great job wiping the earth of their enemies, Caesar Augustus granted all these folks, all of his legionaries, land up and around that southern Rhone Valley, where there's a smaller town to the southwest of Avignon called Nimes, and their actual coat of arms of the city is a palm tree and a crocodile. And reason being is all those legionnaires that fought on the Nile were granted land in around there, and that's where they could go up and retire for all their great service. And leave it to the Romans, wherever they go, they like to plant wine and plant vines and all that. So in Gigondas, they have been making wine for thousands of years. And it's a wonderful wine. Now, it's relatively new Appalachian in a sense, because it was originally part of the Côte de Rhône Village Appalachian, but in about 1971, they broke away and they established their own designated area of Gigondas. And it's a great wine, very full, very rich, dominated by Grenache, usually at a minimum about 50% Grenache, but they also blend in Syrah into it to give it a lot of power and a lot of elegance, or a lot of just fortitude. I shouldn't say it's not a rough wine, it's not a village wine or, you know, real crude wine, but it's a very, very big, powerful wine. A couple of the Gigondas that I like to have around the house, one is just Gigondas Grange. It's a little fun wine, $20 or so a bottle, but we just got in, fresh off the boat, this Domaine Roucas Saint-Pierre Gigondas, and it is just a wine to behold. You know, again, in around the $20 range, great wine. But again, when you're doing one of these full, rich meals like that, real heavy, stick to your ribs kind of thing, the Gigondas is just a great, powerful, powerful wine to hang in that because, you know, quite frankly, it is a little bit chilly out there. It is a little bit cold, so you don't want a thin, light wine like a Pinot Noir might be a little bit too soft. Even Cabernet Franc would be too soft. These Rhone wines are big. They're robust. The St. Pierre is all hand-harvested. Great stuff. I mean, just big, intense wines just to enjoy with that. Because, again, the south of France and around there is known for their sort of peasant meals. You know, it wasn't a very affluent area of France for years. It was always kind of just considered peasant soft food. So, you know, they never got the great, they'd always have to use up different things. So a lot of slow roasting grains, and even a little bit further north in the town of Lyon is known for their great, great onion soup. And what a great day today to make some French onion soup, because, again, that's a real rich, full-flavored soup. It's going to stick to your ribs. And these Rhone wines would just be fantastic with that. I mean, great elegance, a little bit of plum, a little bit of spice, believe it or not. The Syrah blended into it gives it a wee bit of pepperiness to it, which is just great because, you know, those dishes are so rich. They're so big, and then with those wines like that, you can do just anything with it. Now, I would recommend, you know, for some, maybe, you know, pouring a little bit of that Jigar dust in the pot at about $20 a bottle might be a little bit too steep. You can always go get some other wines, and, you know, always when you're cooking with wine, just remember, you know, you always want it to be good enough in the glass so it'll be good enough in the pan. So you can use kind of any good red wine to deglaze that pan to give it that flavor. Also, if you're kind of wanting to be a little bit adventurous, you could go further north up the Rhone wine because we just got in some wonderful Crows Hermitage. Now, here, when you get up into the northern valley, the further north you go, the more and more Syrah is blended into those wines. And the Syrah is just a richer, fuller, bigger flavor wine. The interesting thing about a Crows Hermitage, believe it or not, there's only 1,500 hectares. Actually, it's a little bit less than that, 1,200 hectares of Crows Hermitage, which is translates to about maybe 2,400 acres of that. And that is considered the largest appellation in the northern Rhone, where places like Côte Rôtie, things like that, are only in about the 200-300 hectare. So it's the largest of the small, but it's a great little area, and it's a great expression to step into those northern wines. And, you know, Côte Rôtie can be very, very expensive because, again, that appellation is so small, where the Crows is a great way to step into wines and enjoy those kind of full-flavored, rich wines. And then we just got in as well a lovely Crows Hermitage. We've carried one for a while called Bassus, and it's a great thing. You know, it's been real reliable. But we just got in Domaine Saint-Michel Poignard. And this is a great expression of that. Wonderful winemaker. They've been making wines for over 50 years. It's just a great expression. And you see on this one, a higher amount of Syrah. It's about 80% Syrah with about 20% Mourvèdre in there. So it's a richer, fuller wine. So on these cold, cold days like today, and, you know, it's a little bit balmy. You know, we are the adventurous that love to go out and grill. But if you just want to stay inside and make a great meal to stick to your ribs, these wines of the Rhone Valley are the ones to do it, Denny, without a doubt.
Oh, boy, there's some great ideas and some new ideas, too. You maybe think about some other options with that roast out of that great heavy cast iron. What about, would a Rioja, also some form of Tempranillo, work too?
Well, those will work too as well because they are a little bit bigger and a little bit more fortified with the Tempranillo that's in there, and they do get some barrel age. I would argue, though, the Rhone wines are a little bit better matched because they are so rich, they're so full, they're big. Again, that pepperiness, there's expressions of the fruit, where sometimes the Rioja might be a little bit more expressions of the wood because they age it far longer than they do the Rhone wines. But it's just, you know, but in the same note, there's no right or wrong answer. If you had some Rioja and you did that big roast, what the heck? You're not going to go blind, or there's not going to be the culinary police storming your house to say, hey, you didn't do that right. It'd probably be just as enjoyable as well. But I think those road wines, again, are kind of wines that stick to your ribs, makes you feel warm inside. And that's what you need on a cold day like today, to feel warm inside.
Now, a listener wants to know, when you sear that roast before you get to the rest of the recipe, do you sear that roast in butter or some form of oil, or both?
I usually use a little bit of olive oil first, just so you create a little bit of fond on the bottom of the pan, and you flip it over. Now, I would add butter later on, because butter has such a low, or sorry, such a, it can smoke up. It burns up. It has a higher smoke, or a lower smoke content. So I use a little bit of olive oil, and it's not that much, maybe at the most a tablespoon, just to glaze the bottom of that Le Creuset, and you sear it on both sides. If you want just simple salt and pepper, you don't have to get too exotic on the flavors. Flip it over both sides, take it out, put it on a plate to let it rest for just a second while you prepare just the carrots and then the onions, and then to glaze it with some of that red wine. Submerge it back in there, maybe add a little beef broth, put it in the oven, and then the nice thing is to sort of set and forget, you know, 2 hours, 3 hours later, once all those, you know, the meat just sits there and stews and all that, it just melts in your mouth. It's a great thing to do on these chilly Saturdays like this, and it's an adventure in a sense, you know, to kind of plan out a fun meal like that, because sometimes what else are you going to do on a cold Saturday in Minnesota except make stuff? And, you know, quite frankly, you don't have to do a big roast like that. We are known for our hot dish, and, you know, a little hot dish would be terrific with that, because, again, that's just a warming meal, stick to your ribs, old-timey thing where you just come home, you pull that out. It's a simple, easy make. Take that out, pour a glass of that Jugunda. You know everything's right in God's green earth.
Oh, absolutely. And you say hot dish, you don't say casserole. Say, Ted, before we run out of time, tell us where we can find all these great ideas of yours.
You are correct, Eddie. You know, we can't make the meal for you, but we can definitely make it special. Stop into any one of the Haskells in the metro area to pick up one of these great Crow's Hermitages or these Jugundas or any wines or any beer that you might need. We have football coming up, too, this weekend. So with that, you can stop by a Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis with lots of free parking on the weekends. We have a Haskell's in Minnetonka right across from the Ridgedale Shopping Center. Haskell's in St. Paul right in Highland Village. Haskell's down in Lowman's Plaza in Bloomington. We have a Haskell's out in Excelsior right in downtown Excelsior. Also, if you're out east, you can stop by Haskell's White Bear Lake. If you're going even further east, you can stop by our Stillwater location. We have a Haskell's if you're headed down south right off of 35 in Faribault. There's a Haskell's in Plymouth, and then we also have a Haskell's right up in Maple Grove, our super cellar. It's a sight to be seen. Stop by those 20,000 square feet and pick up some Jugundas, make some pot roast, and have an enjoyable weekend.
Oh, you're making me hungry, as you always do. All right, Ted, let's try to meet up again next week. What do you say?
I look forward to that, Danny, and tell me how your recipes go this weekend.
I will do that very thing, and you as well. Thanks, Ted. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Yeah, Ted will join us again, of course, next week at 7:45.